All right, I just want to share with you guys a few quotes. Number one, Chavrusa is much stronger than I am and smarter than I am. Number two, my roommate has such a strong desire, strong drive to learn all the time. I'm not as motivated. Number three, I have so many more struggles than my next door neighbor does. Number four, sometimes I feel like I'd be so much closer to Hashem if I was in someone else's shoes. These are some, a few of many, many thoughts that A, went into my head and are continuously going in my head, and also going into other people's heads that I, one of the privileges of being a mashgiach is that you get to hear a lot of these things. Tonight I just want to discuss with you a few approaches, a few ways to handle these thoughts, a few healthy ways to handle these thoughts, what to think, what not to think, how to go about it. And this is, very normal to have these thoughts. This is, you know, as they always say, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? That's not a joke. It's a real thought that people have. And that could display itself when it comes to ruchniyot, when it comes to gashmiyot, in so many different instances in life. Number one, when you look at your roommates, your peers, your chavrusas, your neighbors, chas v'shalom, to get discouraged by how much further they are than you, by how smarter they are than you, by how quicker they are, how much more rich they are than you. I just got off the phone with someone like literally 2 hours ago, and he was saying that he graduated YU. I'm very close with him, and he's on the job hunt now for a little bit. Now it's very difficult for him because a lot of his former classmates are either well into med school or have a nice high paying job already, and or on their second job or third job already, but he's not. So, you know, he was getting a little, he was mityayesh a little bit. I told him, have no fear. Turn on YU Torah at around 10:30 tonight, and there your answer is going to be. But it's a real thought that people have. So we could learn from two characters in Tanakh how to go about these thoughts. Two of the characters that you'd least think to learn from. Number one, this character was found in last week's parasha, Parashat Va'era. It's not a human being, but it's a frog. It was a frog. Tzfardea, makat tzfardea. So we know from the pasuk, I'm sure you guys know already from second grade, that the frogs went everywhere in the Egyptian homes, okay? Whether it was in their bathrooms or in their ovens or in their showers or, you know, everywhere, in their food, everywhere. We can't even imagine what life like that would be. But one of those places was where? In their ovens. And as the Midrash points out, Chananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that risked their lives for Hashem, they were Moser Nefesh, Al Kiddush Hashem, where did they get their chizuk from? Where did they get their motivation from? They took an example from Tzfardeh, from the Tzfardeim, from last week's parasha. And they said that if the Tzfardeim weren't commanded to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem, and they still did it, us, Kal V'Chomer, we should do it. So the Tzfardeim, what did they do? They said, these are orders, direct orders from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're doing it. There are no questions. They didn't say, why me? They didn't say, why us, out of all the makot, like, why do we have to go and risk our lives to go and jump into the ovens? They didn't say that. They said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to do it, we're doing it. Okay, so maybe at first glance, to the open eye, it might seem that we are at a disadvantage over here. But they didn't look at it like that. They said, this is what Hashem wants us to do. This is a place that Hashem wants us to be in. And that's what we're going to do. Number two is the Eretz. The Eretz. The land, as opposed to the Shamayim and the Eretz. The Eretz. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, says that when Hashem created every single creation with their consent, with their own dot. What does it mean with their own dot? Rashi points out over there on the spot that Hashem asked every single creation, is it your desire to be created with my vision as I think you should be created? And every single creation answered yes, including the arts. Explains the Arugat HaBosem, which is Moshe Greenwald. He lived in Hungary, I believe, in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He wasn't originally a chassid, but he turned into a chassid. His father was, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not chassidish at all, But his father was a student of the Ketav Sofer, I think, who, it's a machloket if they were Hasidish or not, the Chatam Sofer, Ketav Sofer, the Hasidim like saying that they were Hasidish, but his son actually became the founder of the Papa dynasty, the Papa Hasidus. So anyways, he explains that what was the whole chidush of this Gemara over here? It was that the Aretz, which is a creation that is all the way down here, that is created from mamash material, materialistic things, mundane things, that is going to host the most mundane of creatures ever created, right? And we're looking at them right now, all right? And also animals, going to host that, and is geographically at least far, far, far away from the Kisei HaKavod, far away from the Malachim, far away from, you know, the holiest creations that Hashem created, and it didn't make a peep. And it said, Hashem, this is how you want me to be created? I'll be created like this. Even though I'm going to hold so much Tumah from the beginning of the creation until Bezat Hashem, until Yemot HaMashiach, when it's going to be all over, right? Even though, this is what you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll do it. This is Ratzon Hashem, I'm going to do it. On the contrary, who do we have that was on the opposite side? Korach. Korach was someone who was not happy at all with the role that Hashem gave him. He was not happy at all. He wanted to be Kohen Gadol. He wanted to be like Moshe and Aaron. He said, why? He said, not why me, why not me? Why not me? Why wasn't I the chosen one? And in fact, he wasn't understanding that from the position that he was in, he was able to reach the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol. Because it's all about what Ratzon Hashem is. It's all about what Hashem wants from you at that moment, in that location. And if Hashem wants you, Korach, to be in that, to have that role, then that's as holy as being the Kohen Gadol. And he didn't chap that, he didn't understand that. That's why it's not a coincidence that he was swallowed up by what? By the Aretz. The Aretz, which is what resembled this idea of just being happy and understanding that this is my role in life, this is what Hashem wants from me, it's the holiest I can possibly be is if I fulfill my role in this world. It's interesting, I once heard from one of my Rebbeim, in the name of Moshe Wolfson, that Sfaradim at least say Mincha every single day. We have Korbanot, and we say a Perek of Tehillim before we start. Lam Natzeach Alagitit Livnei Korach Mizmor. Right? It's a Perek of Tehillim, I guess, that the Bnei Korach sung. The Bnei Korach, as we know, did Tshuva. Right? So what does it say? It says Ma Yedidut Mishkan Hara. It says Nichsepa vegam kalta nafshi lechatzot Hashem. Nichsepa means like ka'echsof, right, to yearn. Vegam kalta nafshi, it's another way of saying yearning and strongly desiring, right? Nichsepa vegam kalta nafshi lechatzot Hashem. To the chatzot of Hashem, to the courtyards of Hashem. What's the depth of that? Explains with Moshe Wolfson why the courts, why the courtyards of Hashem? Because Korach wanted to be inside the house. That's where he wanted to be. He wanted to be inside that building. He wanted to be the man in the building. Bnei Korach said, we understand our role. We don't need to be in that building. We want to get closer to Hashem. Chatzrot Hashem. We want to be in the courtyards, always wanting to get in, always wanting to get closer to you. But not necessarily inside. That's not our mission. It's not our goal in life. The Tiferet Shlomo explains Mishnah in Pekevot that says Ezu Ashir Asameh Lechalko, right? Who's the rich one? The one who's happy with his lot, right? So what's the Pashut Pshat? That you have X amount in your bank account. You're happy with that? Then you're truly a rich person, right? What's a rich person? Not the dollar bill signs. It's if you're happy with what you have, right? That's what a rich person. It explains the Tiferet Shlomo doesn't only apply in Gashmiut, it also applies in Ruchniut. If you're happy with your role in life, although it may seem to be a little lower, a little less respectful than your chavruta, if you're happy with the talents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, the tools that Hashem gave you, although they may not be as five star as your neighbors, if you're happy with that, that's an Ashir. That's truly an Ashir. One must take those nisyonot that Hashem gives him. Those nisyonot, those struggles that you have on a daily basis, that your chavruta might not have. Take those and use that as encouragement. What do I mean? So anyone here sports fans? No one? Really? I'm the only one? Come on. What's going on over here? So imagine, just picture yourself, all right? What's NBA, all right? Let's play basketball for a minute. There are 5 seconds left in the game, all right? Their best player has scored 45 points already, the opponents. 45 points, you know, up until this point. And no one can stop him, all right? They have the ball, they're down by 1 point. They have the chance to win the game. 5 seconds left. What happens is your coach says, you, Cohen, get in there. You're taking number 23. Me? I'm taking 23? First of all, I could take down Michael Jordan any day. That's besides the point. But you're taking 23. So on one hand, the person can think, why me? Why are you throwing me to the dogs? Why you want him to like put me on a poster? I don't understand. On the other hand, you could think, no, the coach trusts me out of everyone else. He trusts me to pass this nisayon out of everyone else. Same thing in life. People ask, why me? Why do I have these nisyonot in life? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why not my friends? Maybe Hashem trusts you more. Maybe Hashem trusts you more than your friends. You know, it's a word of encouragement. There's a story. I always like saying the story. My rebbeim once told me that there's, I don't know who this person is, but he told me he knows this person that I'm sorry. There's a story with the two famous two brothers, Rav Zusha and Rav Elimelech. Rav Elimelech from Zhensk and Rav Zusha from Anipali. So I heard this story in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Also, instead of them two, but whatever, let's say it like this. It's irrelevant. The lesson that you learn from the story is, it could have happened to either of them, but the lesson that's learned from the story is important. And what happened was that they went... I'll say it in that version with Rezusha and Rav Elimelech. They went on a journey as they were very accustomed to doing, and they stayed in some Pashtayid's home, and they stayed there. He hosted them, and they did whatever tikkunim they had to do. I don't know whatever that means. And they stayed there, and it was time for them to go. 2 mornings later, they were about to go. They said, you know, let's daven before we go, and then we'll go home. Said. So the Baal HaBayit said, you know, there weren't like minyanim, weren't minyan factories, you know, around there at that time. So everyone daven b'yichidut. Most people daven b'yichidut. So what happened was that this man, you know, he opened up his sidur. They opened up their sidurim, talit, tefillin. They started davening. Okay, now you can imagine how long Rav Zusha and Rav Elimelech's davening was. Okay, they were done. They wrapped their Rashi, they wrapped their Rabbeinu Tam and whatever other pairs of tefillin that they had, wrapped it up, put it away. This guy was still going at it. Wow, we've never seen anyone daven longer than us. What's going on over here? They said, it's probably, you know, you probably got a lot of chizuk, a lot of inspiration from our presence, so let's wait a couple more minutes and I'll finish. Waiting. A couple hours, it's already, you know, past chatzot, and assuming they started davening before chatzot, it's already past chatzot, and, you know, it's, what's going on? Finally, he closes the sidur, he takes, wow. He puts his talit tefillin away, and they go to him, wow, like, wow, that was very, very impressive. Can we ask you, what took you so long? He said, what do you mean? Davening takes a long time. They're like, come on, cut to the chase. What took so long? And he said to them, I don't understand. It really takes a long time. Like, I have to daven shacharit, mincha, arvit, to daven kabbalat shabbat, I have to daven shir hashirim, sfar yisidim shir hashirim before kabbalat shabbat, and then I have to daven Arvit of Shabbat and Zmirot of Shabbat and Shachrit of Shabbat and Musaf Mincha of Shabbat. This of Rosh Chodesh, Shalosh Regalim, and this is Parashiot in the back of the Sidur, Mincha, you know. And like, okay, they understood what's going on over here. This is not only a Pashut HaYid, a super Pashut HaYid, that he's Mamash, Pshutok HaMashmo, he's really, really, really a Pashut HaYid, he really doesn't know. And he needs to be educated. So they sat down with him and they taught him Magal Hashana. They taught him, you know, there are different months in the year, different months we say different things, and different days in the week, and different days of the week, different times in the day, different times of the day we say different things. And he's like, okay, I think I got it. Thank you guys so much. And they went off. This is how the story goes. They went off, they got onto a rug or a carpet or a mat, and they started floating in the river. And a few moments later, they heard someone screaming and yelling from behind them. And he jumped into the water, this guy. And he started swimming after them. And they said, what's going on? Is there an emergency? Is someone in danger? And he was screaming out, when do I say Hallel? When do I say Hallel? I forgot what you told me. They went back and they told him, listen. Now this is not halacha l'maaseh at all. They told him, listen. Whatever you've been doing until now, keep on doing it. Because Hashem loves what you're doing. Keep on doing it. With that tmimut, with that simplicity, pashtut that you had, keep on doing it. So like I said, it's not halacha l'maaseh. But the lesson is very, very clear. That a person who is in that state, who is in that role, must not get discouraged by the other people that are excelling. That's all number one. One way to look at nisyonot, one way to look at struggles, one way to look at your friends excelling while you're stalling a little longer than they are. Number two, all it means is that you're just not davening hard enough. Pretty simple. That's all it means. To attain gadlut in Torah, you need to daven. Now, you could tell me, what do you mean? Hashem just, you know, creates some individuals much brighter than other individuals. And they're quick to understand and quick to comprehend certain concepts, certain svaras. That's not called limud Torah, that's just called intellectually stimulating your mind. You're not connecting to Hashem without learning. If it's just coming to you like that. To really connect to Hashem through Torah, if you're not getting there, you need to daven. You need to daven. I want to read you the words of Yonasan Eibschitz in the era of Devash Derush Dalet. He writes like this. Rak matat Hashem, mitet Hashem, hu kasher nochil tuvo v'chasdo agadol berov tfilav tachnunim. The true nachala, true inheritance, Yerusha, that Hashem gives us, is through His chesed, is through tefillah and tachnunim. Ve'en lecha davar shemezakeh le'adam lehasig yashrut haTorah. There is nothing in the world that can act as a zechut, as a merit for a person to understand and comprehend yashrut haTorah, ulfaneach matzpunim, and to uncover things that are covered, bedarchei yoshev ve'emet, in the truthful way. There's no other thing that can get you to that place. Ela litpalel laHashem, rather to daven to Hashem, bedema, with tears. Sheyashuv yirachameinu, that Hashem should return him and grant him mercy. Ki kel shomea tefilahu, because Hashem is someone, a God, who listens to tefilah. V'karov lechol korav be'emet, truthfully close to you. So we see from here that everything is talui in your tefilah. Gadlut in Torah is talui in tefilah. It's very famous, the Chazon Ish. You don't have to go to Hasidim. The Chazon Ish himself, when there was a Tosfot that he was struggling with, what did he do? Obviously, he tried 100 million times. But if that wasn't working, he didn't just go to sleep and say, the heck with it, I'll try again tomorrow. No, he went to a corner and he cried to Hashem. Hashem, please, allow me to understand this Tosfot. Allow me to understand your words. So I want to read to you some of the words from Rabbi Melchizedek Biederman in his Sefer. You guys see? He writes like this, Lefichach, therefore, Tzarich bereshit. So just a few practical notes on this note. Tzarich bereshit leitchazek vebirkat haTorah leomra bekavanat alev. So number one is we need a lot of chizuk with birkat haTorah in the morning. So everything starts from that. Sharei hi amatbea shetavu chachamim al haTorah. This is the text that Chachamim instituted for learning Torah. V'im yivarech brachot elu b'itlavut v'ishtokekut b'vaday yizkeh lirot bracha v'atzlacha b'limudo. He says, b'vaday, there's no question about it. If you have proper kavanah, if you pour out your heart at Birkat HaTorah that you say every morning, there's no doubt in his mind that you will have success in learning. And the Tzlach himself writes, in brachot samach dalek, l'da'ati, quote, Lidati, in my opinion, says it's lach. Birkat haTorah hi segula nifla'a shelo yishkach ma she'ilmod. So we all struggle with forgetting our learning, right? That's why we have to chazer it 100 million times until we remember it. And even then you don't remember it. Tzlach says, you want a segula to remember something? Birkat haTorah. Tiferet Shlomo writes, Ki mitzvat Birkat Torah yesh bo koach hamoshech lechashkut alimud. You're struggling with your motivation, with your drive to learn Torah. Then you should be crying in tears when you should be saying Veharev na Hashem Elokeinu. Crying with tears, says Tiferet Shlomo. That's Birkat Torah. In addition to that, there's a much more wordy prayer that we say every morning also. And that is Ahavat Olam. I think Sfardim Ahavat Olam is a different Avarabba. I knew it was different. I didn't know what it was. Avarabba, Ahavat Olam. After that, it's like almost the same text. So it doesn't matter. Right? So Ahavat Olam, if you understand those words, it's simple. Mamash, simple words. But if you understand how emotional one can get while saying those words, there's a known thing that some rabbanim, they would be crying in tears every single morning. There's one time I remember my rebbe telling me that the Klosenberger rebbe was famous for this, that no one knew how long his tefillah was going to be every day. On random days, he would just pick a random part in davening. Right? Very often it was like in Az Yashir, I read this in the book, Tevi'emo v'titaemo b'har nachlatcha. Right? There's a Zionist right there. Someone who truly, truly, truly crying for tens of minutes. Tevi'emo v'titaemo b'har nachlatcha. Hashem Baruch Hu, please bring us there, plant us there in Eretz Yisrael. But without exception, almost every day in Avar Abba, Avat Olam, he would take tens of minutes just to say that. Just to say that. V'ten bilibenu ava, right? Open up our eyes. So our eyes, what does that mean, open up our eyes? Our eyes are filled, we fill our eyes with so many different things in our days. Especially now that everything is so easily accessible with our phones and laptops. We see so many different things. And we don't understand that to an extent that blinds us from seeing ruchniut things. Hashem, please, just lighten up our eyes with your Torah. Ignore all the shtuyot that I'm looking at with my eyes. If one, it's a guarantee. It's not for me. It's a guarantee from Rishonim, from Achronim. Birkat Torah, Birkat Kriyat Shema. You will be successful in your learning. Baduku Menuseh. I'll tell you from my own experiences. Baduku Menuseh. You want success in your learning? Don't start being jealous of your neighbor. Start davening. So, B'zad Hashem, we should all be zochet to litkarev, to get closer, lidabek, to attach ourselves in a true way. And the best way to do that is through learning Torah. To a Kadosh Baruch Hu, zochet, gula, tida, bimera, v'yamenu, amen. Have a great night, everyone.